The following podcast contains explicit language and content that may not be suitable for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
What the fuck?
Welcome to the Get Spooky Podcast, where two married guys share stories of paranormal encounters, urban legends, true crime, and other scary things from around the world. I'm Andres.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're here. Doing Welcome. The thing. Welcome.
Yeah, we share scary stuff.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening.
Don't listen to us.
Welcome. Don't listen to him.
Anyways, so we have very sad news to share with you guys.
Okay.
We're quitting the podcast.
What the fuck?
For the month of April.
That was probably a better way to phrase that.
I want to trick everybody.
You tricked them.
Yeah, April Fools.
Oh, April Fools.
Is this going to be out for April Fool's Day?
Yeah, it's going to be. It comes out on Easter. It should come out on Easter.
Happy Resurrection Day, Jesus.
Welcome.
Yeah, the rabbit brought him back.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. Anyways, so what we meant to say is that we're in the throes of our move to a different state.
Our throes?
In the throes, in the Who middle, fucking talks in the like thick that? Of it. Disney yeah. Channel stars to talk like that. That's because Real. I'm a Disney Channel star.
Real.
So there's probably not going to be an episode next month, but we're going to be back in May with probably 3 episodes.
But don't get crazy. One of them is probably going to be a cheeky soda.
Yeah, one of them is probably going to be a cheeky soda.
We don't want to increase our workload more than we already.
I still got a job search and things like that. You guys have, I don't know, I think we mentioned it in the last episode, but we're very thankful for you guys. A lot of you guys are like, hey, here's a, come work with me. It's fully remote. Here's a job posting. And so it's like, it's crazy how much you guys love us because we love you the same. So yeah,
thank you. You guys have been, I feel like a lot of people have been very supportive with reaching out, and not with just related with like work stuff, but it's like, I feel like we share a lot of our personal stuff here. This is a safe space. It's on the internet.
Absolutely.
But everyone always sends us messages and says like, hey, I really like, I enjoy you listening to you guys. And, I share it with like my kids or my friends or my parents. And that's always my favorite part, honestly. Where it's like, wow, children listen to us.
That's weird.
That's risky.
Oh, my nephews don't even listen to me.
Real.
Oh, we meant the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, we are in the, what did you call it? In the throes of moving. In the thick.
It's weird because it's like, we still got a couple weeks to go. But, yeah. Like, we're packing everything up and we're like, should we put this away? We still live here.
Should I put all of my underwear and my socks away?
Yeah. Wear the same ones. Just keep flipping them inside out.
You can wear underwear 4 times before having
that
to wash it.
That is disgusting.
Hold on. Before everyone gets mad at me. Someone at work said that, okay? It wasn't my idea.
Oh, my God. No
way.
You
know who it was.
Men are disgusting.
Of course it was a
men
man.
Are so disgusting.
But yeah, we've been packing up a lot of stuff. Like, we don't even have a lot of furniture. There are some walls that I'm seeing for the first time in years.
We never thought we would want to see them.
Yeah.
Also, something that we recently just watched is Quiet on Set. And that was fucking
Hold on. I was going to mention till after your case to mention it.
Okay.
It's on the list.
Okay, I'm dying to talk about it because that shit was dying weird. Yeah.
You're dying for it?
Because, let's talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Oh my God. Of right now, I think the major things we wanted to bring up is that we will not be having any episodes in the month of April, but we will pick right back up in May, and we're moving.
Yeah, and you guys are going to get to follow us on our adventure because We're going to post pictures
and stuff. It's a big change, honestly.
It is. Kind of scary. But you know what? A big change is always going to be kind of scary.
I feel like the scariest part for me is packing.
Yeah.
And granted, we've gotten rid of a lot of things. But at the same time, I'm like, and even if I miss something or I forget something, I can always just buy a new one, or I can come back or have someone mail it to me, whatever. But just having to put stuff in a box and then take those things out of the box.
And the way we're moving is kind of like, I mean, we've always talked about it. Like, we're getting rid of a lot of stuff that we've had for years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that we're digging up from, like, when we moved out to our first apartment together. And it was like, it's kind of weird to go through that stuff and say, like, I'm past this time in my life. This needs to go into the trash at this point, you know?
Honestly, I'm kind of, like, I like that part
of moving. Yeah, it's...
Mainly because it's, like, I'm getting rid... And sometimes it is, like, shedding the old you of, like... I'm like, I'm never going to fucking wear this.
Well, it's you thinking like, wow, I remember that person that I was then. I am no longer that person, so I don't need this anymore. You know what I mean? And we did donate a lot of things that we could donate. I'm not saying we're throwing away perfectly good things. It's just like a band shirt that we got in 2013 that probably has seen the wash 100 times plus. Like, that's not donatable, you know?
Yeah.
But other, like... Just sentimental things like that. Like, things we've had for a long time. That fucking metal cat that was in the cat's room. Remember? We wanted it a baby. Yeah. We won it for Maita's baby shower. And then we brought it home. And it's followed us to every single house.
That was only because she didn't have a prize for men, right?
Uh-huh.
She had prizes for, like, quote-unquote, like, well, women prizes. But we won the game at the baby shower, and she just picked it off her wall. And it's like,
she's like, have this little cat. It was like a little metal cat that was like curled around, and there was like a rat, right?
And there's like a rat at the tip of it. So it looks like it's like chasing the,
It was really cute, but it had followed us in the apartment, through the house, and we just got rid of it because like,
don't give that to God already.
We've had the chance to go through a lot of shoes that we've had for years that we haven't worn, and they're not wearable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been crazy. Just, like, kind of emotional a little bit. Not emotional, like, getting rid of stuff. Like, I'm not attached to things like that. But just the memories of picking those shoes up and saying, oh, my God, I wore these shoes to go to Mad Decent Block Party, and that was 10 years ago.
Yikes.
And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, just, it reminds you of, like, who you were then. And, like, just thinking, like, that's fucking crazy. Because I, at that point in my life, I would have never thought that I would be working where I work, that I would be married now, that I would be moving to a different state, that I would have two cats, that I'm deeply in, it's the toxoplasmosis that's got me hypnotized, probably. But I love them. We took him to the vet today. It was $420. And I was like, okay, here you go. Take my money.
$420.
Like, damn. Do they have animal insurance? They do.
They do.
I just didn't get it. Because I'm complicated. But
how are you expecting Leo and Venus to pay for insurance? They don't have a job.
They could be like
pet rent.
They could be like those Instagram cats.
Influencers?
Like, yeah. Cat Real. Influencers. Or like TikTok. You know, like the little cats that talk. The, well, hi, cat. He made that owner a lot of money. Why can't these bitches? No, all they do is throw up and eat food. But speaking of taking them to the vet, it's very that TikTok trend where people are having that really sad song, and it's like the pet, and the pet passed away. It's like, I had the pet for a month and he was a stray. I've fucking cried over the last week over those fucking videos that keep coming up on my TikTok.
I skip those because I'll scream and cry and throw up.
But it's got me thinking about our aging cats. They're like in their 40s now in human years. Do this. And they're going to get older. And I'm so sad because they're going to die.
Anyway, changing the subject.
I don't like to think about it.
So we're not going to think about it. Changing the subject anyway.
Joke's on you. I have anxiety. I'm going to think about it the whole time I'm talking.
I'm going to distract you.
Okay. Are you going to throw a cookie on the ground so I can go get it?
Worse. I'm going to put one of those like running videos on my phone.
Oh no, you'd have to get me a corn in a cup, because I would have to be eating, watch the running video, and then you have to have something on the TV, because I can't pay attention unless I'm doing three things at one time.
You can't eat without YouTube.
Yeah, I can't eat without YouTube.
He ate without YouTube. The next time you guys will hear us after this, we're gonna have a whole different life. Like, you guys are gonna have to hear and us brag about
Oh my gosh, stop.
You haven't brought
her up. You know what? I always think about, like, when we first started, there was a bad review that we got. And it
that's
like,
why I mentioned it.
Oh, okay. There was like, you know, I think about that sometimes.
No, I do. I know you do.
Not like to be upset about it, but I'm like, dang, he really thought we were bragging. Like, our life was that great. And we've literally mentioned that before. So it's like beating a dead horse at this point, but.
Yeah. But yeah, the next time, in all seriousness, the next time you guys will hear us, we'll be in a different state and we'll talk about a little adventures. Just something quick. But before we get too ahead, I think we should jump into your case.
Yeah. The only thing I wanted to plug is we're going to be where good food is.
Real. Oh my God.
Although the food here is not bad. It's not bad at all.
It's not.
People come and visit from out of state and say that the food here, the food scene in Oklahoma, like OKC, is really good.
It's definitely getting better than it was when I first moved here.
Yeah. There's a lot. We've got like that award-winning Lao food place, Mater Lao, around here. That place is kind of good. We've got the ramen shops that pop up, the dim sum places that are popping up. There's a lot of like different stuff opening up that Chicago's had for a really long time at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about the food. I'm excited for the changes that are coming here too as well. Like, it's going to be kind of crazy leaving and then coming back to visit and just seeing how things change. I have not been back to Florida since I moved there in 2003. So
we're going to come back and be like, what is this, honey? A white refrigerator.
Oh my. When I lived here, this was a field. Now it's a neighborhood. Look at that. Things changed so quick.
Oh my God. I think Travers posted something like that earlier today. Travers, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Hey, Travers.
Yeah. It's like, we're those old people now. It's like, back in my day, this used to be a field.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's us right there. That used to be a Domino's, and now it's like a Home Goods, like a little mom and pop shop Home Goods. And you go in and it still smells like Domino's in there because it's permeated in the walls.
That's real.
That's real. The Bones of Family video.
Oh my God. And the corpse of a fallen business.
Any businesses that have come in and taken over that building, that fucking building still smells like mildewy carpet.
It's okay. Hold on. You're derailing again. We're getting off on tangents.
Well, okay.
Yeah, you are.
So
back at it.
Sorry. I'm just excited to talk to you guys. Cause it's, you know, like sometimes I feel like the last episode, we just didn't talk to our primos and primas as much.
This is the last time we're recording in this room.
Yeah.
Not to get emo.
Maybe that's why I'm excited and sad at the same time. Okay. Yeah. But anyways, my case today is about gin. What do you know about gin?
They're not angels. They're not demons.
Uh-huh.
But a secret third. Worse.
They live but don't live. They hide.
They're like Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
I'm smart, but I'm stupid. I'm gay, but I'm straight.
I crop dust in Whole Foods, baby.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, anyways, let me get started. So, where I got my information from was Britannica.com, Wikipedia, and there's a couple of others that I'm going to mention further down. Mm-hmm. So, really, like, what the structure is of my case going to... The structure of my case today is going to be giving some background information, and then I found some good stories that people that are Middle Eastern or have, like, shared online of, like, experiences with gin.
Yeah.
So, here we go.
Are you going to explain what they are in case someone...
That's in the backstory.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Okay. Oh my God, my computer turned off. No, it's a jinn. Jinn is an Arabic collective noun derived from the Semitic root jinn, whose primary meaning is to hide or to adapt. Some people interpret the word to mean literally beings that are concealed from the senses, which is what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
They're a third. Jinni in Arabic mythology is a spirit inhabiting the earth that is typically unseen by humans, capable of assuming various forms and exercising extraordinary powers. Belief in jinn was common in a pre-Islamic Middle East, where they were thought to inspire poets and soothsayers. Their existence was affirmed in the Quran, and they are conceptualized in Islam as creatures parallel to human beings who are capable of choosing between good and evil, and face eventual salvation or damnation just like humans, except they got powers.
Yeah.
Ooh. They are beings said to be of smokeless flame by nature, in the same manner in which humans are said to be made of earth.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, especially through their associations with Things Unseen, have always been favorite figures in North Africa, Egyptian, Syria, Persian, and Turkish folklore, and are at the center of an immense popular literature, appearing notably in the 1001 Nights.
Let's go! Wow!
Yeah. So what is that? Can you explain what that is?
It is a collection of stories from the Middle East. Uh-huh. And that's what influenced the story of Aladdin by Disney.
Exactly. In India and Indonesia, they have entered the local Muslim imagination by way of the Quranic descriptions in Arabic literature. In common folklore, jinn are capable of assuming human or animal form and are said to dwell in all conceivable inanimate objects, stone, trees, ruins, and underneath the earth, in the air, and in the fire. So they're kind of like jacks of all trades. And I always think, like, okay, parallel mm-hmm. here. Yeah. Brujas.
Kind of.
A little bit, because they're shapeshifters. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're unseen, they're there. It's just a lot of parallels again in a different culture.
Yeah. So and the reason I mentioned it's like they're not angels and they're not demons, but a secret third, is because I think in lore, they always are described as like being dangerous or sometimes like evil.
You shouldn't associate yourself with them.
Yes.
It's against the Quran.
Yeah, they're mentioned in the Quran a lot, and but even though they're associated with evil, there are good jinn. Like you said, they can be full devout Muslims. So
yeah, so supposedly they favor a snake form, but can also choose to appear as scorpions, lizards, or as humans. They may even engage in sexual affairs with humans and produce offspring. If they are injured by someone, they usually seek revenge or possess the assailant's body, refusing to leave it until forced to do so by an exorcism. So very, they're kind of like a little bit like brujas, a little bit like demons. Like they're very interesting beings, and the way that they're described is like everything kind of like put into one. It almost seems like if jinn were described first, I would think that everyone has their own version of jinn. And some mm-hmm. people have brujas. Yeah. Some people have, like, ghosts. They mm-hmm. kind of all describe the same thing, almost.
I see that. It's like the catch-all of everything that is unknown.
Yeah.
It's like a quick explanation for something that may not be immediately understood to humans.
Right. They possess the bodily needs of human beings and can even be killed, but they are free from all physical restraints. Jinn delight in punishing humans for any harm done to them intentionally or unintentionally, and are said to be responsible for many diseases and all kinds of accidents. However, humans knowing the proper magical procedure can exploit the jinn to their advantage. So this kind of goes with like genies. So genies come from the word jinn. And so it's like if you are the master of a jinn or a genie, you can control them and use their powers for your advantage. Yep. If you're able to know how to exercise them and trap them, it's said that you're able to use them for your advantage.
Yep.
But if you fuck with them, they're going to fuck you up.
That's true.
Yep.
That's, like you said, like, that's the origin of the word genie. But it's also the origin of the word genius in English.
Right. Genio.
Genio. It's the same Spanish.
Yeah. Genio in Spanish is like a genius and a genie. Mm-hmm. It's like one word.
Yep.
To describe both. Anyways, so ghoul, a treacherous spirit that changes shapes, or aka a ghoul in English, ifrit, or a diabolical evil spirit, sila, a treacherous spirit of invariable form, all constitute as classes of different jinn, just to give you an idea of what falls under this umbrella. So I didn't even know the word ghoul came from Arabic.
Yeah, it's like an entity that eats dead people.
That's so weird. I didn't realize how much, like, cultures actually borrow from, like, Arabic mythology or, like, just, like, the Quran in general.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Spanish words are Arabic. This is, like, a conversation I have with my Arabic friends often.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting on a tangent. But individual jinn appear on charms and talismans. They are called upon for protection or magical aid, often under the leadership of a king. Many people who believe in jinn wear amulets to protect themselves against the assaults of jinn sent out by sorcerers and witches. A commonly held belief maintains that jinn cannot hurt someone who wears something with the name of God written upon it. While some Muslim scholars in the past had ambivalent attitudes towards the jinn, contemporary Muslim scholars increasingly associate jinn with idolatry.
Yep, they're considered like forbidden or haram in like modern.
Right.
Like
a lot of people, like I said, associating yourself with them, it's like you're doing something that's against the Quran.
Yes.
So,
and that's why supposedly they fear anyone wearing the name of God, because they're like, oh, see, they're scared of God because they're doing something wrong.
Yeah. So this is the point in my notes where I like said where I was talking about genie, but I mentioned it earlier. So a lot of the superstitions, and Sanaa had told me this before, is that kids or a lot of young adults are told not to walk near water or go to abandoned places or anywhere dirty like a dump, because it's said that jinn reside there and they can possess you there, which I thought was really interesting because it kind of like ties in with like the dirtiness. You know how like a lot of things are haram? You can't eat pork. Mm-hmm. You can't eat certain shellfish in like the Muslim religion. And it's because of the dirtiness that's considered. And I just thought it was really interesting that like these places that are also kind of like intrinsically thought to be like dirty, abandoned places with trash, water and things like that. Like, it's just kind of like, don't go near there.
I don't think Westerners realize how much of a thing that is for a lot of Muslims, where even like talking to God, like when you pray, you have to be clean.
Yeah. You wash your feet, you wash your hands, you take off your shoes, and you have to like, you have a prayer mat that you have to sit on.
Yep.
You have to be completely clean.
So any association with something that is unclean is seen as like something bad.
Against the Quran.
Yep.
It's very interesting how like Middle Eastern culture, well, I mean, I guess I could say the same thing for Americans. It's very like intertwined with their religion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things, a lot of mythology, but I could say the same thing about Christians.
Yeah.
So I guess like before I looked into it, I knew about it, but I didn't realize how much. Like, I think in my research, I found out that jinn are mentioned 688 times in the Quran.
Oof.
Yeah.
Happy Easter, by the way.
Like it's very interesting. Okay, so my first story that I got is from themaronite.org. It's called A Scary Encounter. It was 2018, and I was driving home from a family friend's house after a small dispute. I didn't have a phone at the time, so the only thing that kept me occupied was looking out the window. Our car weaved around familiar roads, and I found myself fidgeting with the hem of my shirt, anxious to get home. The summer heat seemed to affect everyone's mood, making them easily irritable. There wasn't a single car on the road, and we were illuminated by the headlights and flickering street lamps. It felt like the opening scene of a cheap horror film. We were about to arrive at home. I breathed in and felt a lump in my throat when I swallowed. I took my hand and applied a small amount of pressure on my neck, thinking that would ease the feeling. We're going to be home soon anyways. I'll just wait until I can drink water. We had finally reached our town. There's a train station by my house. During the day, it's nothing short of a peaceful scene, but at night, it's unpleasant to look at. The side of the station is accompanied by a looming forest, darkness overtaking the surrounding area. We turned onto the street which led to the train station, but the car felt lopsided. I sat up. The lump in my throat felt worse. I pressed my neck and glimpsed out the window. Why did we stop? My cousin, who sat next to me, was the first to point out what we saw. Something emerged from the forest and started to move towards the car. The thing moved closer to us. It picked up speed and we saw it clearly. It was running towards us. I sat still and this creepy thing was coming closer to our line of sight. Why are we stopped? Why aren't we going? My mother was focused on a conversation with my aunt and she didn't notice the scene taking place right outside her window. The thing looked like a man, but it wasn't a man. It had the longest legs and hair I've ever seen, and when it ran, it seemed to jump a little and its knees bent in such a way that I thought his legs would give out at any moment. I suddenly let go of my neck. I accidentally put too much pressure on it, so when I did, I sounded like a gasp. It was next to us. It was at a stop sign. I forced myself to look. I didn't care if it was a murderer. We could just drive off. I just needed to see its face. I scanned everywhere. Wait, but that's not possible, I remember thinking. It doesn't have a face. My mother was looking at it too now. Her eyes looked glossy. She was searching for it, I could tell. She was looking for its face. It stood directly under a streetlight wearing white torn clothing and a skirt that ended just above the knees. Every single detail was so prevalent except for its face. It didn't have one. We drove off and I turned back right away to catch another glimpse, but it was gone. Ever since that night, this has been a story I've told time and time again. Whenever I make new friends, this is one of the first things I tell them. When my other friends hear me tell this, they loudly sigh and laugh. It's a night I'll never forget. A night that had completely resolved my doubts about jinn.
What the fuck?
That's fucking creepy. So they just fucking appear anywhere. Hello?
Yep. I was going to mention earlier when we were talking about that they are usually associated with like very filthy places. There are a lot of videos online of urban explorers in the Middle East where they see shit.
In abandoned houses.
In abandoned houses.
Yep.
And these houses are like nice.
Yep. But it's almost like the people just picked up and left. Mm-hmm. Most of their stuff is there.
Yep.
It's like everything's been thrown around. Like, it looks dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting. My favorite one is that guy that's looking at himself in the mirror and he sees somebody behind him.
Yes, that one was good.
That one. Fuck that. I still think about that video.
Yeah.
It was the house he was in supposedly was the house of a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And that had passed away and turned into a djinn.
Yep.
Don't know how that works, but the guy was behind him, and every time he looked in a mirror, that fucking man was behind him.
No, it was that he was pointing his camera with his flashlight towards the mirror, and he says, like, it looks like there's someone standing behind me. And he initially thought it was a shadow or something, but he kept walking by, and he would still see it. And he's like, what the fuck? So he lifts his flashlight up. What the fuck was that?
A djinn.
Was that you?
No.
I didn't touch anything.
That's a djinn.
But he has his flashlight and he turns the flashlight up and then down. And nothing happens. And he does it again. He turns it up. And as he turns it up, it looks like a guy's face appears behind him. However, it looks like there's lights in the guy's eyes.
Oh my god, I just got the chills. That video scared me so much.
And human eyes do not reflect light.
Not like that, anyways.
Not like that.
Those are like nocturnal creatures. Cats.
Yep.
Certain, like dogs, crocodiles I've seen do that. Like, there are certain animals, not people.
Yep.
That's so weird. So anyways, my next story is from themedium.com called Djinn Stories. I never realized how dark it could get with zero light pollution. It was like a pitch black blanket covered everything that should have been in sight. I could barely make out the shadows of objects right in front of me. With nothing to do in this blinding darkness, I settled onto the sleeping bag strewn across the floor of the enormous foreign student's embar house tent. While at times this embar housed as many as 7 people, now no other students were here. I was alone. My sleep came in fits and bursts. Exhaustion battled the uncomfortableness of sleeping on a concrete floor. I was asleep 1 minute, awake the next, and then asleep again. Suddenly, my eyes snapped open. In the darkness, I saw a man standing in the corner, leaning on the back wall as if he was waiting for me. I couldn't make out his exact figure except that he was skinny with a turban and a thin beard. I briefly considered whether I was asleep, but no, I was definitely awake. This was no doubt my embar that I saw around me. This was no doubt the stiff concrete floor that I felt underneath me. I fixed my eyes on this man's shadowy figure. He seemed to notice I was looking because he acknowledged my stare with a curt nod. Then immediately began walking over. I couldn't move. I was too paralyzed by the fear to do anything more than just lay there and watch as he came closer and closer. Then as soon as he reached the edge of my sleeping bag, he passed right around and straight out the tent. This was ridiculous. I had been warned that Mauritanian villagers don't have much of a sense of privacy and walk into your tent without asking, but this? To barge into my tent in the middle of the night, then stroll out without saying a word? No, sir, this was too much. I grabbed the flashlight beside me, beamed it on the man just as he was leaving, and hot on his trail, ran out to confront him. This creepster would not get away with his intrusion. Now outside, I swung around to my right, searching for that direction he went off to. Left, right, straight ahead, again, and I swung my light around. But there was no one there. No man, not even a trace. Confused and still exhausted, I went to sleep mumbling Ayatul Kursi. The next day was a blur of studying, reading, eating, and daydreaming about a sweet, cold can of Coca-Cola that would never come, and before I knew it, the sun was setting once again. This time, as night inched closer, it brought with it a feeling of extreme dread. I thought of confiding in someone about what I had seen the night before, but Mauritanians had already deemed me not enough of a man, and I wasn't going to ruin my image further by running over and crying about a djinn. So I tried the only other strategy I could think of, stay awake the whole night. Needless to say, the strategy didn't work. Again, exhaustion from the extreme heat overcame me and I lay down to sleep. Again, my sleep was restless. 1 minute I was awake, the next minute dreaming a terrible dream. And then awake again. Towering over me, I could make out the figure of someone I knew and disliked very, very much. but the situation didn't make any sense. This person I so disliked was supposed to be halfway across the world in America, but there they were, standing over my head in a tiny remote village in Mauritania. I stared up in shock. He glowered down at me. I grabbed my book light from beside me and shined it onto his face, hoping it would repel him. It didn't. Unfazed, he continued staring down a menacing stare. I leapt up from my sleeping bag, stumbling backwards. I turned my light on him, ready for whatever confrontation was necessary. If he pursued me to this middle of nowhere village at this ungodly hour, then I couldn't just let him go. But there was no confrontation. Whoever was standing right over me 1 second ago had vanished into thin air.
What the fuck? So it shapeshifted into someone he knew.
How the fuck did he knew that Jin know who he hated? And the scariest fucking thing, it's like, so you're laying there and you see something and your first reaction is to turn on the light,
mm-hmm.
and then it's going to be gone. But he fucking turned on his flashlight and it was still
there looking at him.
Fucking looking at him. Dude, I would have shit myself.
Ooh.
Shit myself. Everybody yeah. in that little Mauritanian village would have been able to smell my shit. Would have been like, what the fuck is that? Like, that man shit himself in that whole ass tent. They would have had to throw the tent away.
Ew.
No, hell no, dude. By the way, he has
explosive diarrhea.
Me asustó, me sacó la caca.
He got so scared. Everything came out.
Hell no, dude. Okay, so the next one is from Reddit. Mm-hmm. So this is from a thread called Muslim Lounge, and this is from user RobCan167. At some point in my early teenage years, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and see a black figure standing at the foot of my bed. Somehow I knew it was a woman, even though I'd never seen her face. She would appear about once every couple of months. The first few times it petrified me. I'd sit up most of the night staring at her. Eventually I got used to her. Depending on how tired I was, I'd either go back to bed, tell her to go away, or try to speak to her. She would never respond. Occasionally, she would appear standing over me in bed. That was the most scary thing. Later, a friend of mine who was a qualified psychologist told me that there are various stress-related illnesses that can manifest themselves like this. My childhood was very stressful for different reasons, so I assumed that that was it. The last two times I had saw her was when I was about 25 years old and again 7 years later on my honeymoon, when my wife woke me up petrified that there was a woman in black standing at the foot of our bed.
Oh my God.
I stared at the woman in black, then at my wife. I was shocked that my wife could see her. I got up to turn the light on and she was gone. I didn't want to scare my wife, so I just told her that I didn't see anything. I've never told my wife this story because it would just scare the shit out of her, and I don't think I ever will. I do ask her from time to time if she's ever seen her again, and she hasn't. She tells this as one of her djinn stories, and I just sit there and listen with a smile on my face. But deep down, I hope that one woman in black never comes back.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Fucking scary.
Yeah, and for him to be like, to see it and be like, oh my God, okay, I'll get I'll seek professional help for it. Because he thought initially, like, oh, it's in my head.
Yeah.
But for someone else to see it, it's like,
validate that for okay. him, years later, he saw it for years growing up.
See, I wouldn't have lied. I would have been like, I see her too, but we're stronger. Have you seen that meme online? Where it's like, we're hanging out with someone that smoked and they're all paranoid. It's like, yes, girl, they're coming, but we're stronger. Don't do that, by the way.
Oh my God. Hell no. But that, yeah. She just fucking rolled up. She's like, I heard you got married. I got to check
That's
it out.
Scary, though.
I got to check it out real quick.
It's almost like she claimed him in a way.
A little bit.
And for her to show up in his honeymoon, it's like, her letting him know, it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
that's scary.
It is. No. Okay, so this one is from that same thread, but from user helpful_trade108. Now this story, I want to just be like completely transparent. This is obviously written from the point of from a user that's first language is probably not English, so I went ahead mm-hmm. and copied and pasted the story and did the best that I could to kind of fix the grammar, but still stick it to the original story from the person that had submitted it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, just filled in like the grammatical.
Right. So if you look for this story, obviously like the story word for word is not going to match, but I made it make sense in English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This happened at my nana, mother's house. The house was located in a really old area. Apparently, there was a lakeish swamp, and it was really old. My grandpa, again, water.
Yep. I was going to, yeah.
My grandpa bought the land because it was cheap since no one wanted it due to the superstition surrounding it. Anyway, they built a nice three-story house, but they used some of the wood from that area around the swamp for the windows frames. My mom has 7 siblings. They all fall asleep in the second story and the third story. It even has a balcony. At night, they usually light a candle at their room because it's better to sleep with a candle than in complete darkness. One night, Shejo, one of my mom's brothers, was sleeping in his room. He suddenly felt short of breath or like he was being strangled. He couldn't move that much and was struggling to breathe. It felt like he was physically fighting someone, but he managed to scream a few times, making his siblings wake up. They came in and found him fighting and resisting an unseen force, which was probably a djinn. He was so worn out from the fight, the djinn had already slammed him against the wall. Finally, when my nana came in, they started reciting dua and the Quran, while they tried to hold him down and fully wake him up. Once they finally did, they saw bruises on his wrist, as if he was being held down, along with other parts of his body. After the initial shock and prayer, they lit a candle and told him to go back to sleep. Hell no, I would not have gotten back to sleep in that fucking house.
It's like, okay.
They were like, you got your ass beat, but go back. Go back to sleep. We'll light a candle for you. And they left him in that room alone. Ooh. Let me just go move on to the next part, because this story's pretty good. Not long after, on that same night, my mom's middle sister also started screaming. She was being attacked and strangled by it too. She was fully awake though. Once they were able to get her free, they recited dua and hushed her to sleep. This time, one of them stayed in the room just in case. And yes, the djinn did go into someone else's room. Again, a fucking course. The cliche of the candles going out happened, but the thing was, this time my uncle was awake and he was fighting it like he could see it. When everyone came in due to the noises and the commotion, the djinn left. They redid all of the duas, the Quran reading, and the candle lighting. Thank God it didn't happen again that night. They later got an imam to come to the house and do some cleansing with duas and the Quran. Essence and Zamzam water, so the djinn's visit stopped. I don't think they entirely did, because things still happen, but it wasn't as bad.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this motherfucker was up in there, like, ready to catch hands with somebody.
He was like, I have to fight someone.
Yeah. The thing is that, like, they left these people alone after, and they're, like, the second time, they're like, okay, maybe we should leave somebody in these rooms.
Yeah. Well, like, this is very similar to a lot of, like, I mean, we've talked before about how there's a lot of overlap in a lot of cultures, and we're using ours just as like a metaphor, but there's a lot of overlap with like Mexican culture, for example, because a lot of these things, like djinn, for example, are not a matter of opinion. It's just a natural part of the world that we live in for them. Like to them, it's not whether or not you believe in djinn or not. It's that djinn exists and there's ways to fight them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Crazy as fuck. But the uncle was ready.
I'm interested to see what he saw, because you said that it looked like he was able to see the djinn.
It looked like he was fist fighting somebody, like he could see them. Mm-hmm. But that was all. There was no follow up. Oh, nothing. That was it. But I was like, dude, I want to know more. I wish this person would post more.
Yeah.
Next one is from user varioushat7678. And I kind of just want to mention that from here on out, the stories get kind of shorter. So just bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my 2 explicit stories. Both happened when I used to live in Pakistan in the 90s. One midnight, I was exactly 5 years old, lying next to my 15-year-old cousin at the time. Him and I were watching Captain Planet cartoons. It was around 3 or 4 a.m. Our families were having breakfast. We were all going to Islamabad to pick up our USA visas and documents. Me and my much older cousin were watching TV when the TV suddenly shut off. However, the lights were still on. Moments later, from behind the TV, a tree trunk-like figure leapt up with a face as big as a very large 20-inch pizza pie. It kept stretching upwards until its head touched our room ceiling, which was no less than 10 to 12 feet. He had no visible arms or legs, just a long black body and a big face with hollow eyes and an overly large mouth filling up the face and a huge nose. It then thinned out of existence. My cousin gasped, and I was stunned, but wasn't scared because I didn't know what it was. My cousin then told my parents, and they confirmed it with me. It was a djinn.
Holy shit.
But for both of them to see it?
Yep, another example.
Fuck.
That's like, they both look at each other like, You see that too.
Yep. So his second story is very short. I was around 8, my first visit back home. My cousin's house in the village, they had a storeroom. There were 6 of us that hid in it while the 7th was seeking us. In that room, the blanket floated into the middle of the air and fell down. We ran out. So apparently they were playing hide and seek. Mm-hmm. They go hide in a storeroom. All of a sudden they turn around. There's a fucking blanket floating up in the air and then hitting the ground. And so they ran out.
Oh, shit.
So, and that was it. That was kind of like a short story. Okay. The next stories that I'm going to tell you are short. They're from an article called 11 Absolutely Terrifying Real Life Jinn Encounters. Stories that will take away your sleep from Ramiza Ahmad. These are mini stories. I want to mention that. These are like, you remember those two sentence horror stories?
Yeah.
They're kind of like in that style. They're a couple of sentences long, but they're creepy real? And that's it. And they're real. People post, people like were like, this happened to me. Mm-hmm. Here's a two sentence story. That was it. So I kind of wanted to include all of these at the end because they are shorter. We can go through them a lot faster. But some of these are fucking creepy. Okay, number one, the park encounter. A man posted about how he would meet this guy when he would jog through the park right after Fajr. And only on those days he would be late for Fajr prayers. They met twice and even went to breakfast after a jog. He did not see him for a while. And one evening he was taking a stroll in the park at night and met him again. Except for this time he looked a little strange. His voice was much deeper and his features seemed darker and evil in a way. He asked whether he would like to have dinner together, and just then the man received a call on his phone. His ringtone was the azan, and when he looked up, his friend had disappeared. After that, he caught a very high fever that lasted for days and never saw that man again.
Oh, shit. Because he probably got mad about the ringtone.
Yeah. That's a call to prayer, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, in case anyone knows, it's a call to prayer. A lot of Muslim majority countries have it. During specific times of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But damn.
Yeah. Creepy. It wasn't very long.
To get that close, you know how everyone says, like, you encounter or you may interact with, like, a potential serial killer several times in point of your life? But to look back at something, it's like, oh, shit, that wasn't a person.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, specifically what I thought about in these videos is, we've seen a lot of videos recently come up where, like, it's a security cam and it's like an employee talking to another employee and they're not talking to anybody. And they're like, no, I swear there was somebody there.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many of those videos I've seen come up.
Yep.
On TikTok, YouTube, like lately in the last couple of years. And this made me think of that because it's like he literally talked to somebody that wasn't there, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. That's fucking weird. This kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah.
So, okay, next story is called The Faithful Jinn. A man wrote about how he went to pray tahajjud at the mosque near his home, and while he was praying, he heard the door open and someone come pray next to him. He did not pay much attention to the man, and as he went out and saw that there was only one pair of slippers outside, which were his, he quickly ran back inside and saw that no one else was there, even though that he had seen somebody in his peripheral vision and there was somebody next to him.
Oh, shit.
Fucking creepy. Okay, number three is called The Ominous Cat. Someone posted about a story how when his maternal grandmother was on her deathbed, a cat started to appear in their home. The cat would even appear in the home when all the doors and windows were closed. It had a really bad smell and a very dirty coat. And whenever someone recited a holy verse from the Quran, it would vanish. After the grandmother passed away, the cat would still appear, and the few times that it did, everyone in the house fell sick. Yikes. Sounds like this story was commissioned by some dog lovers. That's the joke that the author put in, but I thought it was kind of funny because we're cat people. But supposedly, that cat was a jinn.
That
was coming to, like, signify the death of the grandma and then kind of, like, make everyone sick in the home. Number four is called The Bride of Karzaz. This is a very popular story that everyone here in Karachi has heard, and obviously so have I. So I was like, when I was listening to it, I was like, Karachi, where is that?
Pakistan?
Right. But do you remember Kamala Khan's mom was from Karachi?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my God, how do I know that? Ooh.
And who said Marvel is not educational? God,
yeah. Anyways, okay. So apparently quite a while ago, a young bride and her groom were headed home after their wedding. The car was involved in an accident and both of them passed away. The bride is sometimes seen walking on the road by those driving by. A lot of people believe she is still there looking for someone to help her, and she's reliving her accident. And so she's now a djinn.
Oh, shit.
Number five is the dancing girl. This one is a story which was personally narrated to me by my maternal grandmother's maid. My grandparents' house is huge, and for the better part of the year, the house is unoccupied since they are out of the country. My grandmother's maid's family was staying at that house, and her brother-in-law was sleeping in the sehan, which is a veranda, when suddenly he heard the sound of payal, which are anklets. He opened his eyes to see a woman dressed in a complete lenga choli, which is a dress, asking him not to sleep there. He obviously freaked out and ran off to join his family. Safe to say, I never felt completely at ease in certain rooms at that lady's house.
I'm curious to see if maybe there's like a lot of overlap in djinn and just ghosts.
Yeah.
I feel like there's sometimes...
I kind of get the feeling that there are no ghosts. Djinn are ghosts.
Ah.
Okay. It's like ghosts, like mentioned earlier, ghouls are a type of djinn. Ghosts are a type of djinn.
Oh. That's makes more like sense like why the, it's considered like something you shouldn't associate with.
Yeah. The next story is the bed companion. This happened to a friend of my mother's. She was taking a nap in the afternoon and suddenly felt like her bed shifted like it would if someone laid down beside her. She turned to look at what it was and saw the profile of a man lying beside her. She could not make out his face. She turned back around and she couldn't move, which led her to read some verses from the Quran until she felt like she could move again. That man was no longer there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Number seven is the strange hitchhiker. This is another one of my mom's stories that my uncle told me. After attending a wedding late at night, a young couple was making their way home on their motorbike. On a stranded road, their bike stopped working, and while the man was trying to figure out what was wrong, a strange-looking man appeared and asked them for help. The man was already frustrated and told him that he could not help him, and couldn't he see that he was already knee-deep in his own problems? All of this happened while this pregnant wife looked on. The strange man was angered by his response and said something threatening and disappeared. Later on, the couple went home and did not think about the incident much. A few days later, the wife delivered her baby. However, the baby had a deformity in his skull, which looked like someone, or rather something, had taken a huge bite out of it.
Whoa, what the fuck?
That's fucking crazy.
That has to be like an urban legend. It has to be something like, oh, I heard a friend of a friend that heard this from, like...
Somebody said that the story was true. That's fucking creepy. Fucking creepy. Okay. Why would somebody chomp a baby? That's a baby. Okay, number eight is summoning gone wrong.
Oh, brother.
Like a lot of young teenagers, the person who wrote this was in the mood for some fun with their cousins. And of course, like all of us at one point, they tried to summon some ghosts. One of the cousins started chanting something under her breath when suddenly a cold wind blew in the room, even though there's no windows. And the next second, the cupboard fell down. The kids all screamed and ran out of the room and never really spoke of the incident again. The whole fucking cupboard fell down.
Jesus.
Not just the cabinet, the whole cupboard.
The whole thing.
The whole fucking thing. Nine was, a man posted about how when he was a child and stayed at their nanny's house for the summer, something freaky happened. He was sitting with his mother when suddenly his cousins came into the room to ask how she had gotten inside the house and the room so quickly. Both son and mother were confused since they had been in the room all evening. The cousins then told her that just a few minutes ago, she was outside in the garden, and when they asked them if he was okay, he said that he was tired and went towards the house. The kids followed him to make sure he was okay, but he had disappeared and out of sight quickly.
Oh, shit.
That little boy had never been outside.
Like a doppelganger.
Yep.
Or like a djinn. Who is to say that a lot of unexplained things happening in other parts of the world
are just djinn? There's a lot of overlap in the things that happen.
Like shapeshifters.
Yep.
Doppelgangers. Burujas, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
So I got two more stories. The next one is called The Humming. This guy posted about how he was making chai and heard a faint humming of gnats. He ignored it until he realized it was 1 a.m. and the only house near his place had been empty for the last 6 months. While this could have had another explanation, it's still scary to think about. He basically lived in an area by himself and he heard somebody humming. really close to his window.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Number 11, the last one, is called The Shaking Windows. A colleague narrated the story to me. She was sitting in her room in the evening when suddenly all the windows in her house started shaking with a violent force. There was no wind outside, and the force was so great that it couldn't have been caused by mere wind. She rushed outside her room to find her father in the next room. He's a man who was very, I guess, learned in religion, and as people come to him for spiritual help. He told her not to worry since the spirits that were outside were trying to get in, but they couldn't.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's fucking scary.
I like how that was his explanation.
He's like, oh, they're trying to get in, they can't.
Oh, that old thing.
Don't open the door.
Real.
Don't open the window.
Yep.
That's it. That's all I got.
Wow.
That was my gin stories.
Huh.
Some of these were fucking creepy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, parallels of, like, I don't know, you hear, like, oh, que se le pareció el diablo y que esto pasó. Like, just, like, mm-hmm. really short, like, creepy stories. And I was like, these are, like, they made me feel, they reminded me of those stories. They made me, yes. like, feel kind of nostalgic to read
I was these. Thinking about that. Yeah. And that's why I mentioned about, like, the, like, this has to be, like, an urban legend. Because I feel like in Mexico, again, like, as an example of our reference, everyone always has those types of stories.
Yeah.
Like my mom, about how she shared that one time, like one of her relatives found a baby on the side of the road and took it home. And it was like, I wonder what it eats. And the baby's like, I'll eat anything. And it like opened its mouth and it had sharp teeth.
Yeah.
So it's like, what the fuck? How could that happen?
Yeah.
But it's just like an urban legend that maybe, I don't know, there's just a lot of overlap.
Yeah. And you could say, like, so in some of these stories that I was reading, it's more mm-hmm. like how to get little kids not to go near places. Yeah. Don't go near a dump, don't go near water because you can drown.
That's what I was gonna mention.
Don't go to abandoned places, you could hurt yourself.
Yes. I mean, that makes sense. But about water, I feel like a lot of scary shit usually happens relating to telling children to avoid bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, La Llorona was a major thing. But even like recently, do you remember that video that we saw? It was like supposedly a kappa in Japan. It was a video of a kappa is a Japanese water demon that looks like kind of a turtle, but like
he has like a little bowl in his head.
Yeah. And it said that they eat children and cucumbers.
Oh my god, I know what video you're talking about. It took me a second. It was like a little hand
in
the
water.
It was
like a little green hand that comes out of the water towards a child, but someone is recording them and calls their name, and the little kid turns around and the little hand like
goes back in the water.
But there's just like so many similarities where it's like, yeah, kids should probably avoid bodies of water.
And I'm almost wondering if like water is that way because of its mirror like
I was just going to reference that, too. Oh my God. Our minds are in sync.
Mind meld.
We've been hanging out for too long.
Yeah. We're only married.
But yeah, it's like the reflection of the water. Keep it going. I'm out of...
Portal. Yeah.
I'm out of brain juice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. So
the ideas are there.
That was it. I hope you Good guys job. Liked my story. Oddly enough, I have cousins that are Middle Eastern. They're half Hispanic, half Middle Eastern, and so they have been telling me these creepy ass stories since I met them. So
even like, I mean, one of your cousins worked as a teacher, and I remember she mentioned like one time they had like a assembly or something, Oh, you can go ahead and say it.
Yeah. So my cousin used to work at a school in Qatar. And she said that this young student burst into like a fit of rage and started like acting crazy, and somebody had to slap her to snap her out of it. And supposedly her and a group of kids had hung out the night prior at some abandoned ruins in the desert in Qatar, which they are told not to do that because jinn live there.
Yeah.
Those kids reported that they could hear scimitars slicing each other. Like there was a fight, there was noises of like war around them. And so they were drinking, they're not supposed to do, but they came back, and that's what happened to her the next day. They said that a jinn had come back with her and possessed her.
Yep.
That fucking story, when she told me that story, I was like, Sana, shut up. Be quiet. I'm scared. I'm scared. Why would you tell me that? And then she told me that urban legend of the Emadues. I will always remember that woman. She shapeshifts into household items. Mm-hmm. So you'll bring her inside your home. Then all of a sudden you got an extra lamp. A cute little extra. You're like, oh my God, this lamp. Where did it come from? Mm-hmm. It's the Emadues, bitch. She's waiting for you to fucking fall asleep. Uh-huh. So she can awake from her slumber, her lamp slumber.
Yeah.
Turn into a woman with goat legs and stab the fuck what out of the you.
Fuck?
And then turn hold back on, into hold a lamp.
On. Maybe that could be its own episode. That sounds like a yokai, honestly.
Mm-hmm. She's like the lamp. And I always remember her, the lamp. And I always look for suspicious lamps in my house.
The boat lamp. The leg lamp.
The from leg that lamp. One movie. That was Emadues.
It was.
Yep.
It's all connected. Yeah. It goes all the way to the top. But yeah. Wow. Good job.
Thank you.
That was really good.
I'm kind of excited for your palate cleansers.
Why?
Because we talked about what was on the agenda. At the
beginning. I have a few things. But yeah, let us know if you have any. I feel like Jenner is so like such an interesting part because, like I said, some are considered like something you should not associate with or even talk about. But sometimes they have so much overlap with other paranormal entities like ghouls or ghosts. I did want to mention that there is a Netflix show called Jinn. It's a Jordanian series.
So good.
It was literally
so good. It was canceled.
It was canceled after the first season because I feel like the first season, like, it builds up so well.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end, it's like, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I think after a while, they were just like, let's just cancel the whole thing.
Yeah, there were people that were watching the show, and they were like, we're Muslim. We don't drink. We don't do this. Cancel the show.
Yeah. And they canceled. I mean, I'm pretty sure some people are very diehard, like, conservative like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, honestly, some people are just like, this is a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I recommend it. Unfortunately, it's only one season, so
yeah. If you guys can't tell, I've been reading more books. That's why my reading is so concise now.
He reads.
I'm gonna beat this 50th in education statistic of Oklahoma. I can read.
Like, where are you going with this? Yeah.
This has been a theme that's been coming up a lot recently. People talking about, like, that kids that were stayed home during the pandemic are, like, in the fifth grade and they can't read.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I mean, it's a thing. I feel like the pandemic definitely
stunted
a lot of people's, like, reading capabilities. I don't know. I feel like
the pandemic didn't happen. Those years just didn't happen. Like, we stayed at home and we were just evanesced. We were like Jinn, unperceivable.
What the fuck are you doing? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's on like X Games mode or something.
Yeah.
But let me go ahead and
depression medication. Sorry, guys.
That's what it is. So the podcast turned 4.
Yay!
Years old. On March 12th. It was the day after your birthday.
Wow. So,
we forgot to post about it, honestly, because I forgot.
That's okay.
But I was like, wow, 4 years.
We'll post, too.
It's been fun, honestly. And it's weird that this is, like, the podcast turned 4 and we're about to take a break. Our first break, honestly.
That is weird. We'll be back.
We're not quitting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, maybe. You will heal from us again.
If you're listening to this episode on April Fool's Day or April 1st, we are quitting.
Any other day, we're not.
That's the joke.
What else? Oh, so because of the podcast turning 4, I think I mentioned it in the last episode where we talked about how I decided to I caved and I made a TikTok account for the podcast,
and it's so good.
And wow. There's only 2 videos. Claps. And I did realize the other day the first video I posted, it looks like I have a lazy eye, so I'm just like, I can't do this anymore.
You can repost it.
Nah, it's okay. I did post another one, and I had a lot of people messaging saying, this is your voice? Like, Yes.
We also mentioned this on the last episode. We talked about it.
But I feel like it's happening so more, like, more often. It's like, this is what you sound like? I'm like, why do you guys sound disappointed?
Because I sound like a nasally nerd.
That's what it
is. That's what people think that I sound like.
What are you trying to say about me?
That you are a nasally nerd.
Okay.
You look like a cholo, but have the voice of a nerd. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I do
get that a lot. But yeah, someone did call me Nalgon on TikTok. So I was like,
what the fuck?
They're like, this is your voice, Nalgon? I was like,
how they know you got a big butt? I'm the one that looks at it.
It's like, wait, how do you know?
Where have you been?
What pictures have you seen of me?
Yeah. What's next? you got distracted about the fact that somebody said you got a big booty.
Yeah.
I was like, telling you every day doesn't do it for you. You have to seek the validation from other people.
From strangers. That's how it works.
Wow. The crumbling of our marriage. That's it.
Recording live. This is something that I texted you the other day.
What was it?
If you had to give an extraterrestrial, like, say, for example, a spaceship.
That is not what I thought.
What did you think I was going
to
say?
Remember when you asked me to do that thing?
He's fucking lying. Don't listen to him. I texted him saying, if there was an extraterrestrial, like aliens, a spaceship comes down in the backyard, they go up to you, and you have to offer them a drink. One? Well, first of all, I'm requesting...
You said a drink or a food?
Well, I changed it. I changed it now.
Okay.
Either a drink that will make them like you, where it's like, yeah, you should spare this planet. Or second, a drink that will make them hate you.
Okay.
What would they be?
Mm.
You can take your time.
I would want them to drink a little mango juice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I want them to like me. I love mangoes. They're my favorite fruit. I want them to taste it.
But if you want them to, like, hate you, what would be the
drink? McDonald's Sprite.
Jesus,
man. Hands down.
They're gonna be fucking,
that's just going to be spicy as fuck.
You can put a phone in a McDonald's Sprite and it'll charge at 100%.
Actually, that's what... So, like, when you charge your electric cars, there's like a little McDonald's cup with Sprite, and that's like the other end is just stuck in there.
Now I believe it.
Yeah.
I saw a Tesla.
That's once. What's inside that little Tesla box. It's a little cup of Sprite.
Okay, so for me, if I want them to like me, I'd give them a Thai tea.
Okay.
A Thai milk tea.
Mm-hmm.
If I want them to hate me, just like die.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said this earlier, but like a Chili's margarita, it's like, I want them dead. I want them gone. Like a Chili's margarita.
Damn, I thought you were going to say Windex.
Oh, that's good.
The drink, not the cleaning product.
No, I know. Oh, yeah, we should clarify.
Yeah.
There's a drink at the bars that's called a Windex.
The gay bars.
The gay bars.
Them gays.
It's a Long Island, but instead of Coke, it's Blue Curacao. So it's like more alcohol.
Yum.
That'll kill them. That'll kill the extraterrestrial.
Damn, that would be so fucking lit.
What the fuck?
They'll crash their spaceship.
It's like, yo.
We'll have Roswell.
Well, I think I think they're called adios motherfuckers in other parts of the country.
No, because adios motherfuckers are green.
No, they're not. They're blue.
Maybe I was so drunk I didn't even know what color it was.
He was at the club. He was at the club and didn't see. Did we mention the Avatar The Last Airbender live action?
I think so. We liked it.
We liked it. Next topic.
Okay.
The Quiet on Set docuseries.
Oh my god.
Girl. Okay, girl. So anybody that is not aware, so there was a docuseries that was released on HBO Max, is it?
Yeah.
That was kind of talked primarily about like Dan Schneider and all the allegations against him.
If you don't know who that is, that was like a very prominent producer for Nickelodeon in the late 90s through the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So think like iCarly, Victorious, Sam all and Cat, that. All that.
Like the Amanda Show.
The Amanda Show. He was very involved in the writing for those shows.
Yes.
He was on set constantly.
Yep.
So anyways, all these kids went through some bullshit with that fat man. And I will fat fucking shame fat that shame motherfucker.
That, like that TikTok. It's like, yo, fat shame him. Like, ooh.
I can say it because I'm a fat man too. That fat ass. He, like, was abusive. Verbally abusive.
Yes.
Fucking creepy. He's the one that thought it was funny to, like, post Victoria Justice's feet and Ariana Grande's feet, like, pouring ketchup on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, as kids, like, that... They're too innocent to know what that is, but like us as adults looking at it, it's like, why the fuck are we pouring shit on people's feet? Yeah. This is a fetish.
I mean, as a child, you and see they're it, minors. It's like, oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah,
but it's like, no, there was more to it.
Yeah, there was like a lot more to it. So, mm-hmm. And it just there was a lot of fuckery that happened, a lot of pedophilia that happened on set. Not necessarily. I want to mention this, like. It was
not by him.
Yeah, not by Dan Schneider, but the people that were hired to work around him.
Well, we don't want to give spoilers, but there was a lot, and we will say that there is
content warning.
There is definitely a content warning for all of that. Turns out he had a response to that. Like, he was on. Remember that one guy?
I don't give a fuck what that fat ass has to say.
Oh my god!
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, well, I'll tell our listeners.
No, don't tell them. Because we don't give a fuck what that fat ass has to say. Oh,
I guess we don't give a fuck then.
No. Go look for the video yourself if you do care what he says. But I don't give a fuck about the chisme that man has to talk about.
He spilled the tea, sis.
Okay. Anyways, what's your next topic?
Anyway, we definitely recommend if you have like access HBO Max.
Uh-huh.
Definitely watch the
docuseries. We don't want to give him a platform. That's what I don't want to do.
That's what it is.
I want to give platform to the people that were hurt by his things. Victoria mm-hmm. Justice, Ariana Grande, Alexis Nichols.
Jeanette McCurdy. Drake. I still have to... I really want to read her book. We still have it. I have it here.
You just haven't finished it or didn't start it?
I haven't started it yet.
Oh, fuck. Okay. I want to get into it.
Yeah.
It was like weird because it's like these are shows that I grew up watching.
Yeah.
Like the Amanda show, like that shaped my fucking humor. Like that was my humor.
Yes. There's a lot. I think I was very young.
No, when that it came was out. Also.
And also, I didn't speak English when all that was like a thing. But like, even like Good Burger, Dan Schneider was a producer on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Amanda show, oh my god, that, yes, and I absolutely agree with you, that is where most of my sense of humor comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So it does suck looking back at it, where it's like something that you used to enjoy so much that you thought was like, damn, this is my childhood. Especially now, I feel like a lot of millennials kind of hold on to that.
That nostalgia factor?
Yeah, they kind of hold on to that very dearly, where it's like, this was important to me because it was important to me when I was growing up, when I was like, you know, developing as a person. But looking back at it, it's like, oh shit, well now I feel guilty enjoying that.
Mm-hmm.
So that sucks, huh?
Yeah, that did hit me in a low spot that was very sore for me in my little heart.
Yeah, especially everything that Amanda Bynes has been going through. Yeah, afterwards
she has not done well, and I think that like there's a direct correlation by the way shit that probably happened when she was growing up in Hollywood.
Yeah. And I'm not to say that Dan Schneider is like responsible for it, because I feel like there were many factors, especially with Amanda Bynes, mm-hmm. that there were many factors going on in her life that she just wasn't able to handle. But again, all of this is like alleged.
No concrete facts,
I guess.
Watch it.
But we definitely recommend. This is all to say, we definitely recommend watching mm-hmm. Quiet on Set. I guess one last thing, and then we can kind of end it for the month.
Mm-hmm.
There was a new show that came out called The Three Body Problem, and we started watching it.
That has been interesting.
It really has.
Eiza Gonzalez is... love her.
I would say it's kind of paranormal. No, not different. Not paranormal. What's the word?
It's a science fiction
sci-fi,
show.
Sci-fi. That's the word, yeah. It's very sci-fi.
But don't let that scare you, because...
It's not scary.
Yeah.
There's aliens.
Yeah.
And it's more of a drama, honestly.
I feel like people, like, when you start mentioning that it's sci-fi, people are like, oh, I don't really like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's, I would say, like, give it a, even though it's like sci-fi, give it a chance, because it could surprise you, and you could end up, like, it could become the gateway to a new, like, genre.
Yes.
That you maybe thought that wasn't for you, but you found, like, a niche that you like.
Even if you don't like all sci-fi, this may be something that you enjoy.
Right.
But I will say that there's a lot of science involved.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of knew what it was about, because I read, like, a huge synopsis.
I want to read the book now.
Yeah. It is based off a book called The Three Body Problem. They made it into a movie in China, but then they canceled it, and then they made it into a series in China, because it's based off a Chinese book. While we were in Austin, there was actually a lot of advertisements about it, and I think some of the actors were in South by Southwest while we were there. So, that would have been cool. It's like, hey, cool guy, I'll watch your show.
Interesting.
But yeah, we definitely recommend it. We haven't finished it yet. But if anybody wants to, like, talk about it, I guess.
We could, I guess.
Actually, that reminds me, before we go, with everything that's been going on with, like, us moving and packing and literally only having, like, a couch in our living room, no tables. I haven't really been answering a lot of, like, social media posts and social media messages from everyone. But we are not ignoring you. We're just fighting for our lives in the fucking trenches of life. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like, now we're like, when do we schedule the dumpster to get here so we can throw a bunch of our shit out? Like, how big of a U-Haul do we need? Do we want a U-Haul? How are we going to get both of our cars over there if one of us is driving the U-Haul and the other one's not? What about the cats? How are we going to get the cats to Illinois? That's a 12-hour drive. Are they going to cry the whole way, or what medication can we give them?
Yeah.
So it's just been like...
There's a lot.
One thing after another, not to mention that I'm like... Finally, in my last, I give my notice at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been working. They knew that it was like, I had told them since last year, I'm like, hey, April's probably going to be when I'm moving. But it seems like they're like, hey, you only got 2 weeks left. Here's all this stuff that you can do for us right now.
Yeah.
So, and I'm, you know, like, it's overtime. So I'm okay with it, because we're going to need the money. But it's like, I've been so busy. Like, I haven't been getting home till like 6:30 p.m. every day.
Besides, I feel like I wouldn't mind that. I'd rather that than, hey, we have nothing for you. You can go. Yeah,
I have been enjoying it, because I know that, like, I don't have to stay. You know, like, it's like, oh, you put me on this really hard project here, and then, like, handing it off, and it's like, whatever happens after that, none of my business. That's, I don't work there anymore.
That's in God's hands.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not ignoring you. And... honestly, we really want to thank everyone that has been very supportive with us, like, these past 4 years. It's fucking crazy looking back and seeing how we started at the very fucking beginning of the pandemic and saying, like, hey, there's 60 reported cases of COVID. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Or things like us complaining about, I don't know,
not being able to fit into any clothes, and me that wanting too. To have a breakdown in a fitting room.
Yep. What else did we talk about? We talked a lot about, like, social distancing and things like that. You know, just pandemic things. You know,
things that I don't feel like exist anymore. That time did not exist.
And looking through, like, these past 4 years of how much everything has changed and how we have changed, and the community that has, like, followed us along with the podcast. We really want to thank everyone.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Love you, primos, primas, and primes. And we will see you in a month.
We will see you in a different state.
Yeah. Reporting live from Illinois on the next episode. Thanks for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at GetSpookyPodcast and on Twitter at GetSpookyPod. Also, email us any story suggestions or your own scary stories at GetSpookyPodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Taylor Turner for the artwork and Kyle Fields for the intro music. And don't forget to tell someone you love how much they mean to you. Bye-bye.
Wow. Goodbye, Oklahoma.